Okay, so welcome. For those of you who do not have chumashim, you don't necessarily need chumashim, but might be helpful. We're going to be doing the Haftarah of this week's Parsha, known as Haftarah Snachamu. If you can't hear me from there, yell at me, and then I'll yell back at you. Okay. So the this Haftarah is actually a very famous one, kind of. It's famous first of all for just being, right? Shabbos Nachamu, Haftarah Nachamu. So it's famous for that, and also people are familiar with the words. Depending on the tune, they may know more or less of this Haftarah, but at the end of the day, not so much, right? So if you know. If you know one of the Karabakh tunes, then you know Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, Omar, Elokeich. I mean, that's basically all you know. And then there's another one, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, Omar, Elokeich. Then you even know up to the next pasuk, Dabra, Levi, Yerushalayim, Bikiri, Lehan. That's all you know. And if you know like the Yom HaKadavar tune, then you know Koko, Rei, Bamidbar. You know a few, but you don't get much past the first few psukim. And most people don't really know past Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami. Some people don't even know past Nachmu. Some people don't even know Nachamu. But most people know Nachamu. This Haftarah that takes over the Shabbos, right? It's not an unfamiliar concept of a Haftarah that the Shabbos is named after the Haftarah. When was the last time we had a Shabbos named after the Haftarah?
Chazon.
Shabbos Chazon last week. Chazon Yeshayahu. Not as exciting as Shabbos Nachamu. Named after Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. So, if we're doing this in one session, and I intend to make the later Maariv or close to it, so we're not going to be able to do a proper full text analysis. I know you're really looking forward to a nitty gritty detailed at this time of the day, but we'll look a little bit at what's going on in this Haftarah, try to understand what's past Nachmu Nachmu Ami, but a more fundamental question, which I was discussing with some of you, discussed with others of you in the past. Of this concept of Shabbos Nachamu. We're talking Shabbos Nachamu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. So what is this Shabbos about? What is Nachamu? What does that mean? Nachamu.
Comfort.
Sure. I didn't say it. I was copying Shalom. I don't know anything. Nachamu is comfort, right? Or grammatically, right? Like you be comforted, right? Or you should comfort.
So wouldn't that be inachmo?
Or if it's comfort yourselves, like tisnachmo, right?
It would be tisnachmo.
Right. So actually, it sounds like it's talking to people in general. It sounds like telling other people to comfort other people. Then you have to try to figure out who's talking to whom, and whom are they supposed to be talking to? Who are my people? Who's being spoken to in plural? So that's a fair question. I don't think we're going to deal with that tonight. It is a fair question, though. It's an interesting point of perhaps there's some a national responsibility from everyone to be involved in this nechama. But it's an instruction to cause comfort or to be in comfort. That's clear.
Yeah. Is it an instruction, be comforted or to comfort?
It looks like to comfort. Nachamu, right? It looks like to comfort. Now, the question that we have to really try to get to is, when I say Shabbos Nachamu, what do you think? What do you feel? What emotion runs through your mind when you hear Shabbos Nachamu is coming?
Relief.
Good. Others?
Hope.
Excitement, happiness. Does anybody feel that? Happiness, excitement, joy.
Not real excitement. I still. It's sort of bittersweet in the sense that it's still the Shabbos right after Tisha B'Av. Like, you know, the meat is still raw and fresh. So, the consolation is going on the wound that already exists, and that is just inflicted.
Right. So
it seems bittersweet.
So it's bitter. So maybe bittersweet. Maybe a little too soon. And I'm impressed with the answers. I think these are high level answers. Relief I do hear. The 3 weeks, especially in like a a normal camp. Camp has a little bit different. We feel it a little bit less the 3 weeks, the 9 days. But it definitely in a normal camp, there's this pressure, what you can't do, and you can't swim, and you can't listen to live music, and you can't eat meat during these days without a siyum. Like for us, a lot of these, the chitzoni parts of the Avelis, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Camp Pasch is lost. We lose the external ones, right? Meaning like, hopefully in Camp Pasch, we're feeling it very much. We feel the 3 weeks, we feel the 9 days, we feel Tisha B'Av very much, but the external parts of it, the part of not eating meat, so, okay, so maybe you had 11 o'clock Duggies and you didn't have a siyum on time, so you missed meat for a little bit. I don't think there was one time, I love meat. If I could put myself on a field day team, I'd put myself on Basar, not Chalav. But I'm Parv, happens to be. I'm the green team. But I love meat, and I didn't feel at all a lack in my meat eating these past 9 days. I didn't feel a chisaron at all. There wasn't a time that I wish I could eat meat now, but I can't because it's 9 days. And that didn't happen to me because we had to see him all the time. There was a little bit, like in my office, we didn't listen to any music. But outside, there's music blasting at every activity, the activities that I run, right? They're blasting music because that's okay. And that's not just okay, that's the correct thing to do. So the chitzonius part of these days and weeks were harder to feel, but hopefully more meaningful in a much deeper way. In a regular camp, relief is a word that makes sense. I'm here for my summer fun, my swim time, and half of my summer, almost half of my summer of swimming, I'm not swimming. Instructional swim, right? The classic shtick. Instructional swim. Maybe there's really room for a hat there, but
kind of necessarily like the coming out of the darkest time of the year, and now we're sort of bouncing back.
Right. That as well. Yeah.
I also feel like the chisoni part also makes us appreciate what we have. Sort of since we're deprived of all that, once we get to the point and we sort of are able to indulge in like swimming, eating, like in having those things, sort of puts things in perspective, realize how we're lucky we are to have this, be able to
eat. It takes more work and it takes a higher level, but yes, that is correct. So the question we have to ask, but this is really, as I said, it's a high level group. I think a lot of people, when they think Shabbos Nachmu, they think Shabbos Nachmu getaway, Motzai Shabbos Nachmu concert, Simcha, and there's this great excitement. And the question is this really appropriate? And the main reason it's not, I think, was already, we touched upon it. What's wrong with this is that Shabbos Nachmu is the Shabbos after an unsuccessful Tisha B'Av. Because we know Tisha B'Av was supposed to be Yom Tov. Zachariah says it. Because I'll say it. It was supposed to be Yom Tov. It was unsuccessful. So we have Shabbos Nachmu. What's going on here? So, Rani wants me to share that, imagine that we have somebody coming in, the Department of Health, something or other, comes in, right? So they come in, they're checking out the situation, and they see, they want to play music, and we're like, oh, no, it's the 3 weeks, pretend we're a normal camp, okay? Right, so 3 weeks we're not listening to music. Oh, okay. And they're like, I'm going to stick around for a little bit, and they see it. Not 9 days, or we're not eating meat. Must be. Oh, you mean it? Was everything okay? No, we're just really, really upset that our temple was destroyed. Probably heard about it, right? The Romans, around 2,000 years ago, year 70. You heard about it. Second temple. Okay. Oh, wow. You must be really, really upset. Yeah. It's horrible. We're not eating meat unless we have a special party celebrating our holiest books. Otherwise, no, okay, fine. So they come in, and then they come on Tisha B'Av, and they see us sitting on the floor, the lights are dimmed, everyone's crying, people are looking down, no one's greeting each other. Oh, is this about the temple? Yeah, it's about the temple. This is the day it was destroyed. We're so heartbroken, it's such a mess. It's so hard for us. And then they come in the next day. They see, and it's, let's say, it's Erev Shabbos Nachmu, or the week of Nachmu, and they see everyone having a great time. Music! After chatzos, meat, haircuts, funny mustaches for the day, Everyone's very excited. Shabbos Nachmu. So then, so this inspector comes over and he says, oh, Mazel Tov. what's with the Mazel Tov? Mazel Tov, your temple was rebuilt. It's like, really? You check Yeshiva World, you check Matzah. No, what are you talking about? That's probably where I would check. All right. So you check, what's going on? No, it doesn't say anything about that. It's only bad news there. Okay, so what are you talking about? It's your temple's rebuilt. Oh, I mean, I just assumed that. Right? I mean, yesterday you guys were on the floor crying, and then today you're just celebrating music, Dougies, and funny mustaches. I assumed that the temple was rebuilt. No. No, it's not. Oh, so did they lay down the foundation? No. What changed? Yeah, that's the avoda we're involved in. We're mourning, so broken, Tisha B'Av, so what changed? What's the nechama? Where's the nechama? How does that happen? What are we doing? So we take a look at the Haftarah a little bit. If you didn't grab a chumash, you can. You don't need to. I'm not going to be heavy on the text now. But just to see what, right? So one question we're asking is, what is this role of nechama? What is nachamu? That's one question. And another question is, what does Yeshayahu say past this first pasuk, or the first three pasukim? So he says, Nachu Nachu Ami Yomar Elokeichem. So says your God. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, speak about, or really to the heart of Yerushalayim. V'kiru Eleha, call out to her. Right, say that her Nirtza Avona, her sin, her iniquity is going to be, not wanted, but kind of like repaired. Hashem has punished her enough. Kol korei bamidbar, there's a voice calling out in the desert. Panu derech Hashem, clear out a path to God. Yashru ba'arava misil elokeinu, another path to God. And then he goes on to say that there's going to be a voice that says, call out, right? Kol omer, right? Pasuk vav. There's the nigla kvod Hashem in hey. The honor of God is going to appear to people. Kol Omer, Krav Amar, Ma'akra. So there's a voice that's going to call out and say, call out! And then there's different ways to understand this in the Farshim, but one way to understand it, one shot way to understand it is that the Navi says, Ma'akra, what should I call out? Right, so there's a voice that tells the Navi, call out! Say it! And the Navi says, say what? Ma'akra, what should I say? So then he says, oh, come. Kol HaBasar Chatzir V'Kol Chasto Kitzei Tzasodeh. Says, you know, say that all flesh is grass and withers and blows away. But basically, if you go down to Ches, that's what happens to all things. Things die in the physical world. Udvar Elokeinu Yakum Li'Olam. The word of God stands forever. Okay. Great. Then he says, go up to Har Gavoah and test. Go to a high mountain. Mivaseres Tzion. Right? Mivaseres guys here? No? Yeah, there we go. Mivaseres Tzion Harimi Bakoah. So there's somebody proclaiming something on these mountaintops. Share the good news. Imri la'are Yehuda hine elokechem. Tell everyone, behold, God is here. Okay, cool. That's great. Hine Hashem elokim b'chazok yivo zro moshlo hine schar v'itof l'asolafanav. Hashem has schar with him. He brought some goodies. He's been away for a while. He brought some things from vacation, some souvenirs. He's like a shepherd who watches after his flock. He's very powerful. He measures things very carefully. He runs everything. I'm just skimming through. If we were doing this, I used to do this year over like a week. We used to do them in the mornings for like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in the morning before the day. It was a little bit of a hard slot for Hevra, including myself, very much including myself. So we're not doing a full analysis of the text, but just to see what we're talking about. So far, does anybody want to recap the points we saw in this Haftarah? Right, so he says, comfort the nation, and then what? Clear a path to Hashem. Say God's here. Give a mashal about how God is infinite and doesn't blow like grass in the wind and flesh that deteriorates. God's not like that. Hashem is not like that. And then it says that all the nations are nothing before Him. And just speaks about God's creating the world and how Hashem created the world. It's so incredible, and nothing can really match that, and nothing can match Hashem's power. And it ends, Se'uma Rome Nechem, raise your eyes, last pasuk. Raise your eyes, before that, Chafei. Ve'elmi Sedam Yuni Ve'eshveh Yomar Kadosh. The Holy One says, who's like me? No one is like me. And then Chavav, Su'ut, last pasuk. Look, raise your eyes, and who created these things? Who created this incredible world? L'chulam b'shem yikra, all of them call out in the name of Hashem. Merov onin v'amitz koach, right, we know from Yonah Matzah. Ish lo ne'adar. Nothing is missing from Hashem's world. So that's what he says. That's the Nachmu. We only knew Nachmu, Nachmu, Na'ami. We didn't know anything past that. I mean, maybe some of you did. Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami. Hashem says, comfort my nation. Clear a path to Hashem. Hashem doesn't wither away. Hashem lasts forever. Hashem is really, really, really strong. Hashem is here. Hashem created the world. No one else could create the world. No, none of the other gods created the world. Nothing is missing from Hashem's perfect world. So it sounds like a lot of different beautiful, important ideas, but how do we string them together, and what does it have to do with Nechama, with Shabbos Nachamu, what we're trying to live right now? So I think we first have to think about this word, Nechama, what it properly means. So let's try to translate it again. Nechama, how do we translate it?
Comfort.
Two main words. We had comfort, consolation, right? Comfort and consolation. Any others? We're good with that? We're happy with that? Okay. So comfort and consolation. So let's note that we don't call it Shabbos Simchu, right? Simchu. Shabbos rejoice. It's be comforted, consolation. What does the word Nechama really mean? So where's the first place it comes up in the Torah, the word Nechama?
End of
Parshas Bereishis. The introduction to Noah. Right? No, the Torah introduces us to Noah in what Parsha?
Noah.
Parshas Bereishis. The end of Parshas Bereishis. Right? Fun fact, right? And where is Avram introduced to us?
Noah.
At the end of Noah. Very good. Excellent. Right? So we have the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as Adam ba'aretz. Hashem saw that the man was evil. We'll keep it like that. V'chol yetzir ma'akshu was libo rak ra kol yom. All bad all day long. V'yinochem Hashem. And Hashem nachmu nachmu amid. V'yinochem Hashem. Hashem was nachum. Why? Ki asa es adam. Ha'baretz. Because he created man. V'yisitzeva libo. Hashem was very sad. So here we have a theological problem that we're not going to deal with of Hashem is sad, and what happened? What's this Vayinachem? Hashem was Nachum. Hashem was the recipient of Nachmu Nachmu. And what happened? And he, because he created the world. He had Nechama because he created the world, and he was very sad. Does this sound like the Nechama that we're used to? How do you translate this word? Vayinachem. V'simcha and v'nechama, but it says v'yinochem Hashem. Hashem was nachum ki asas adam ba'aretz, because he created man. And remember, in the previous passage, like I said, man is really bad all the time, all bad all the time, right? And because he's really bad, Hashem v'yinochem. Hashem had nechama ki asas adam ba'aretz, because he made man in the world. V'yisatzev el libo, and he was very and he was very sad. Regretful. That's a good word. Regretful. Hashem seemed to have regretted what he had done. But is that what the word Nechama means? Does it mean regretful? I thought it meant, right, be regretful, my nation. Is this Shabbos regret? Maybe. Yeah?
I think sort of comforting and consoling kind of represents sort of like bringing, like, making something bad and making something satisfying, not something like completely incredible. Like when you're constantly comforting someone, you're making something like satisfying, something like sort of like tangible, not necessarily something incredible, like incredibly happy, something that's sort of like a baseline.
He sounds pretty upset here, no?
Could he be like appeasement?
Acceptance. Acceptance. Can you elaborate? He's accepting. You know what Hashem's about to do in the next passage? What does Hashem do next?
Destroy the world.
Brings a mobile to destroy the world.
He accepts. No.
I just need to get better at acceptance. You know, destroying the entire world with a mobile.
Wouldn't make sense for
a mobile. I get it.
Okay, come to terms.
The impetus to change.
Meaning
that it's kind of like there's this bothering, there's this feeling, and it's the reaction to that feeling and causing a change.
Okay, good. I like that. I'm going to go back to that. Yes.
The word that I was thinking of is validation.
Validation.
Self-identification.
Can you elaborate on validation?
No. I tried.
You could try.
Nakamu, you don't apologize. It doesn't seem to me like that's an apology, but it's a lesson. I thought that what I was doing was right, but I understand that you're still a kid. I'm sorry about that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so...
It's not an apology, more as a realization. It's basically a display that what that the behavior that was exhibited didn't come from a place of bad feelings or this or that or
right.
anything negative necessarily. But
it
came from a place of sensitivity.
So I think we're going to we'll get to that. Not as necessarily as the translation of nechama, but in a way to what's going to result from our understanding of the definition. I want to go with something more of what Gabrielle was saying, which is the way I understand nechama, and I believe this is correct, and I think this is really the correct approach. It's not just me. And we see it also in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, where Klal Yisrael Hashem, right, has to, he doesn't want to take them derech Eretz Plishtim. Ki karovu, it's karov, it's close. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, unclear. But he doesn't take them, and it says that he doesn't want Klal Yisrael to do what? Pen yinachem? Hashem, he doesn't want them to be consoled, be comforted, be satisfied, validated. He doesn't want them to reconsider. Nechama means to reconsider for the good, for the bad. Whether you thought something good and now it's actually bad, or you thought it was bad and now it's actually good. You don't that nechama is this reconsideration, a new perspective, a fresh look, something you didn't see before, some understanding you didn't have before. There, I first really appreciated this when I was in Avelis and trying to understand the concept of nechama velim. Right, when someone does is Menachem Avel, so they don't bring the mace back to life. So what are they doing? So I think it's giving. I think a big part of it is it's comforting, but it's comforting through giving a new perspective, right? A person who is stricken in such a way that they're an Avel, there's this pain, and there's this everything is bad and everything is wrong, and the person's forgotten forever. And the more that people are menachem avel, they say, you know what? There's an afterlife. The person had so many contributions in this world. You have people who care about you and support you. You might have thought, oh no, I'm alone now. No one's going to take care of me. No, there are people who care about you. There's a perspective, a closed, locked down perspective that avelim often have. And the people who are being menachem avel are able to help give a new perspective on the situation, on the mace, on everything. And I think that's what's going on over here. Hashem says, Kavayachol, I reconsidered having made man. I made man, but they're really bad, and I have Kavayachol reconsidered. And that's why you get into a theological discussion about that. Klal Yisrael was reconsidering their leaving, having left Mitzrayim. And Hashem is saying over here, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, reconsider the situation. Nothing changed. The dead didn't come back to life. The base of Mikdash was not rebuilt. But let's try to change our perspective. Because we spent the 3 weeks, the 9 days in Tisha B'Av mourning. We spent Tisha B'Av sitting on the floor crying, I was in pain. I hope everyone here was in pain. We should have been. Because we didn't have a base of Mikdash. So we had that pain and we didn't do anything. We didn't build. You know what Tisha B'Av should be? Maybe we should all go to Yerushalayim and Tisha B'Av and start building. Maybe we should go around doing lots of mitzvos. Tons of mitzvos all day. Chesed, talk to people, cheer them up when they're down. Learn lots of Torah. Do we do any of this stuff? No. We sit by ourselves and cry. Now, if you're a counselor in Camp Ask, or a Rex Steff in Camp Ask, who's kindly volunteering, or anybody else in Camp Ask, so you're still working and doing lots of chesed, but you broke away, you did less chesed than usual, because you're trying to tap into the day. The day is not a day of doing and building and construction. It's about wallowing in sorrow and feeling the rejection that we failed these 3 weeks and these 9 days in this Tisha B'Av, that we failed, because we don't have a base mitzvah. We failed. I'm sorry, it's not going to sugarcoat it, despite Candyland being tonight. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We failed. That's Tisha B'Av. Right? And also Friday night, the Shabbos Nachum with Tish, with the candy dish. But we're not going to, we failed. We did something wrong. We didn't get what we were supposed to get. Nevertheless, Hashem says, I don't want you to mourn forever. I don't want every day to be Tisha B'Av. We can't do that. That's not functional. One day, you're sad. 3 weeks, 9 days, one day, you're really, really sad. And then let's move on and rebuild and think in a new way. Nachamu, Nachamami. Reconsider. Think about it in a new light. What can we do? What can we do to build? How can we try to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash? How can we try to turn things around so that next Tisha B'Av is not the Tisha B'Av we had this past year in the last close to 2,000 years? How can we turn things around? That's what Yeshayahu is telling them. He says, okay, great. We were sad. Now, Nachamu, Nachamami. This is Parak 40. The first bunch of Prakim are mostly Yeshayahu prophesying about Korban HaBayis. It doesn't happen until well after his death. Then he says, what's going on? So Kol Kori Bamidbar, there's a voice coming out. This is Panu Derech Hashem. Now, Nachmu, clear your way to Hashem. It's not Simchu. It's a consolation, right? We say, be consoled. Consolation prize. You know what consolation prize is? This guy got first, this guy got second, this guy got third. You lost, but you get a trophy anyway for participating. Or you get to take home the picture, or you get to keep the pen with the organization label on it. You get a consolation prize. Consolation. Shabbos Nachmu is a consolation prize. So Hashem says, okay, you didn't get what you wanted. What did you want? We wanted Shabbos Simchu. Shabbos Sisu was Simchu. Shabbos rejoice and celebrate. Shabbos Menucha, of this Menucha, of achieving this level of having a Beis Hamikdash. That's what we wanted. We didn't get that. We got Shabbos Nachmu. Shabbos of Nechama, consolation prize. Okay. But that's not such a sad thing. It's bittersweet. Not fully Candyland, right? It's bittersweet. It's now let's focus. What can we do? How can we build? And it says, Panu Derech Hashem, clear way to Hashem. Then he says, call out, right? We said there's a voice that says, call out. Call America, call. Vamar Ma'akran. And Yeshayahu says, what in the world can I say? Yeshayahu didn't live through the Korban, but he prophesied about people who would. He says, what in the world can I say to them? They were just mourning. They had all the challenges they had, and they had the Crusades and the Holocausts and World War One and World War Two and the Korban by Sharishan, Korban by Sheni, and the Inquisition. They had all these terrible things. What can I say? What can I say to them? They're sitting in their sorrow of Tisha B'Av. What can I possibly say? What can I call? Hashem says, tell them that man changes. God doesn't change. Man changes. God doesn't change. Man is like grass and this. Hashem says, behold, I'm Hashem. I don't change. I'm the same. I'm consistent. I'm stable. And what does that mean if God is stable? Then what changed that resulted in the Korban HaBayis?
Us.
Us. And that's feel guilty. We did that already on Sunday. We felt guilty. But now what do we do with that reality? We reconsider the reality. Now I don't feel guilty anymore because that's not so helpful. You need to feel guilty first. But what's the new attitude? What does that mean? If it's because of us that everything turns sour, then it's up to us to make it better. And the ball is in our court. It's up to us to make it better. Wow, that's bechizuk. It's nothing changed. It's the same situation. There's no Beis Hamikdash. But our perspective changed. Wow. I have the power. Right? Because I sat in Tisha B'Av, helpless and hopeless, not doing any mitzvos, sitting on the floor crying, not learning Torah. Because I was helpless then. Right? We know we don't wear shoes on Tisha B'Av. We don't have proper shoes. It's part of a sign of Elis. The main reason, right, the Pshat, why don't we wear shoes?
It's uncomfortable.
Right? We want to remove some comfort from ourselves. But it's in Panemius Torah, you know what they say? It says, shoes represent you're going somewhere. Right? You walk outside, and not all of our campers, not all of our counselors or our division heads, but you go outside, you wear shoes. When you're inside, you don't wear shoes. When you're somewhere to go, you wear shoes. But if you're inside, you don't wear shoes. I'm not wearing shoes. I'm staying right here. Because Tisha B'Av, we're not going anywhere. We're staying in one place, not moving. That's it. But we put on our shoes after Tisha B'Av. And we say, we're moving. We're going. We're getting something done. We're building. We're headed somewhere. Hashem is consistent. We were inconsistent. But now we realize we have the power to be consistent again. We can do that. And Hashem is all-powerful. And Hashem is all-accepting. And Hashem created the entire world. We're not going to get into all the psukim today to really, really see this thought fleshed out. But that's what we're being told in Shabbos Nachamu. That it's not that, not everything's all better. Not, oh, Baruch Hashem, we got past the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, we're good. No more limitations on my doggies. We're good. No, that's not the perspective. We didn't get past it, and now we're there. We're not there yet, but at least we're on the derech. We're on the mesila. Panu derech Hashem, Yashu Barava mesila l'Elokeinu. We're on the path to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Nachmu, Nachmu, reconsider your situation and figure out how you can rebuild. In Rosh Hashanah, we should be zocha to really feel the nechama. We should be comforted. We should be consoled. We should reconsider our standing and reconsider to the point that we really believe, and Rosh Hashanah, through our belief, will actually bring about the reality that next Tisha B'Av will be a great simcha with the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dana.